Repent and believe. I think that we're missing that sometimes today. We're missing the repentance and believe. We're telling people, come to church, come to church. Here's a chair for you. You can have a chair and you can just belong to our club. That's not what Pentecost is about. It's about repent and believe. It's about turning your life. It's about not living that old way anymore. It's about coming to Jesus. That's okay. Just leave it there. It's not an emergency. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, this is also a day of prayer. The church is called to pray on Pentecost, which is really an important thing because, you know, Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, was birthed in prayer. And we're going to spend a little time praying today. And I'm going to lead you in that prayer. We need to remember a few things in particular. We remember Arlene, who's in the hospital, and she had a bad fall earlier this week and broke both of her ankles, I believe. So we remember Arlene. I understand, too, that there was a really bad accident a couple of days ago, and I don't know all the details, but I'm told, and again, we're going to pray no matter what, but I'm told Alana was a part of that, and she's quite injured. And that's Kim's niece, I think, Alana. So we're going to remember Alana, and there's someone who passed away in that accident. So just, yeah, okay, there's lots of things here. But we're going to pray for that. We don't need to know all the details, because God knows. God knows. We pray for that. We're going to remember Esther also this morning. Her prognosis isn't that she's going to live for very long, but she loves God, and we just remember her and ask God to be with her as she's doing this journey. And thanking God that he has a promise that he makes to all of us that even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I hold your hand and I'm with you. So, yeah, let's just pray together. Can we do that? This is what Pentecost should be about. So, God, thank you. We just join our hearts in prayer and we thank you that we have this avenue of prayer. We're able to come to you. We're able to speak to you. We're able to just proclaim the name of Jesus. And thank you for worship and that we can be here together to worship you. I thank you for my friends who are here, these brothers and sisters, and that we've chosen to come to give you glory and to lift up your name, God. And I pray for your church, Lord. It's good to know that on this day, your church prays. That on this day, we join with Baptists and with Presbyterians and Alliance people and people at Word of Life and everywhere else, God. We pray for your church. We pray that your church would be united, that we'll be one, and that the message that we bring to this world will be consistent, that Jesus, this same Jesus who is raised from the dead, is both Lord and Christ, both Lord and Christ. You are the anointed one, and you are the King. So, Lord, we pray for your church, and we pray that your church, Lord, that we'll stand together, and that we will be faithful, and that we will be prayer warriors, and that we will be welcoming you to do the work that you do, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead your church, that you came for us. You came to be present among us. You came to work in the world and to be a light that shines so that people come to know you, Jesus. And I'm just praying today, God, we're praying today that more and more of that will happen, Lord, that people's eyes will be open to you, that people will hear the gospel and that they'll repent, that they'll believe and be baptized, and that they will turn to Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to just move in the power that you have. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that we'll see great harvest. We pray that there'll be many who come and turn to you, God. These are the last days. These are the end times. And we're looking forward to that time, Lord, when you pour out your Spirit, and when the old men will see dreams and the young men will have visions, and where you will pour out your Spirit on both men and women, and that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, God, we wait for that. Just pour out your Spirit, God. Pour out your Spirit, God. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your power and your love, God. Thank you, God. We need you so much. We need you so much, God. There's so many who are lost and who are distracted by the world and by the noise of life. And Lord, we just pray that they'll come under the conviction of your Holy Spirit. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to change lives and to soften hearts and to move people. And I pray for us too, God, even today, that you'll soften our hearts, Lord. We're here this morning for a reason. You bring us here. We're here to worship you, but we're also here to hear from you. And there's some of us who've come desperate, and we're lost without you, God. We need you. We need some significant change in our lives. We can't keep living the way we've been living. I'm so grateful, God. I'm so grateful that you're a God who always offers us. You always say, come to me. Here's the offer. I stand at the door and I knock. Here's the offer. Come to me and lay your burden down. Here's the offer. But you're God. You've always got the offer there. You're always, your hands are always open. You're always inviting us to something. I pray today you'll invite us to come and draw closer to you. And I know that you're doing that, Lord. Thank you, God. That we can lay our burdens down, that we can leave our brokenness behind, that we can start walking in a victory that we've never had before, and that you won for us, you won that victory for us on the cross. Hallelujah. We want to own that today. And if that means that we repent and we believe, that's what it'll take, God, to turn our lives to you, and that you pour out your Spirit. Do that today, God. Pour out your Spirit into our lives, just as you did on the early church at Pentecost. Pour out your Spirit on your church today. And that's us, God. Make us available vessels, ready for your Spirit to pour into our lives. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for those in special need today. And think of Arlene in the hospital, Lord, that thank you that the surgeries have gone well. And I pray that you'll build her up, God. Just encourage her. Take away that spirit of defeat and Lord, that self-pity, remove it and help her, Lord, to have this time now to just seek you, God. Pour your Spirit upon her, Lord, right now. Pour your Spirit upon her, God. We love her. You love her. And I pray that she will know that today, God, in an unquestionable way. I pray for Alana and for the ones who were in that car accident and for all the waywardness and the slipping away from you that's happened, Lord, that this will be an event that brings her back to you, God. And we're not afraid to pray that, God. And I pray that you'll spare her life and that you'll be with others who are injured in that accident, God. And it's a terrible thing, and we don't know all the details, but God, we lay this before you and pray that you will have your way. Only you can turn evil into good. Only you can take something that is tragic and that is filled with darkness and shine your light into it. And God, we pray and we ask you and we plead with for your mercy, God, and your healing power that you will do just that, God. Bring incredible goodness out of this. Bring powerful testimony out of this, God. Lord, there's so many things that have gone on in the last little while in our church and in our families and so many attacks, so many hard things, death. People slipping away, God, and we just need you, Lord, to show us that you are in control, and we know that you are. But build our faith, God, because we confess that sometimes we falter in that faith and in that belief in you. Forgive us for that, and we just trust you, Lord. Build our faith. Build us strong in your word and in the promises of God. For Esther, we remember Esther today. And I thank you, God, for this wonderful woman and for all the years that she's lived and for the ways that she's contributed to so many lives and for her children, for Dave and for Rick and for Trina, for others, Lord. We just want to remember her, God, and we don't want to forget her. I thank you that she's still doing pretty well and she testifies to your goodness and that your promises are real for her every day. But just stay near, God, to her. Be with her as she struggles with this cancer. And we just lift up Esther before you, God. You are a faithful God. You're a good God. Lord, all of us here have needs, and there's things that we want to bring before you. And there's people who are struggling with different areas in life, Lord. Maybe they're going to move away, and that's a hard thing to do. Maybe they're looking for work, and it's been hard to find. Maybe it's an addiction that continues to seem to have control, and we're chained. We're chained to that addiction, God. We just bring that before your throne to God, and we pray. For the struggles that we have sometimes with our mental health and our depressions and our self-pity and all those things that go with that, God. And there's a number of us who struggle with that, Lord. For suicidal thoughts, Lord, we commit it to you, God. We need your hope. We just say it today, God, only you. Only you can inject hope into our dismal and dark lives. And if it wasn't for you, we'd have no reason to live. Nothing, Lord. There'd be no purpose to any of this. Lord, just shine your light today into our lives. I thank you, God, when I look through the faces that are here, I see the changes. Lord, I need that. I need the encouragement. I need to know that your power is available today, and I see it in the many lives who are here. I know, Lord, that you've changed many hearts and that we stand with a new testimony. There's a new song. There's a new song in our hearts because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we proclaim that again today, that even though things are hard and even though our lives sometimes are uphill and there's brokenness and there's struggle, Jesus is still the Lord. You are still the King and you are still the Anointed One. And Lord, where we fail and where we are weak, we know that you are strong. So show your strength here today, God. And mostly this morning, we just want to say thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that in your infinite wisdom, you did not leave us as orphans. You did not leave us to fend for ourselves. We never would have made it. But that you've given us the life and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we ask you, Spirit of God, to breathe on us today. Breathe your amazing life. Breathe your hope into us, God. I thank you, Father, that it's your good purpose, that the Spirit of Jesus Christ now lives in us, that you sent that Spirit at Pentecost, and that we have everything we need, everything. There's nothing missing. There's nothing lacking. Thank you, God. Teach us to learn what it is to live according to your Spirit. I pray, Lord, for the fullness, the full measure, the full power of your Spirit to dwell among us, even today, God. We invite you to do that. Move, Lord. Just pour it out. Just pour it out. We stand in need of you. We are in need. But you are everything we need. There's nothing we need aside or apart from you, Jesus. So pour out your Spirit into our lives. And I just thank you, God. We thank you. We have hearts that are full of gratitude. We know that you're coming soon. We know that the day is going to come when you're going to bring us into your glory. And that until that day, every knee that bows down and every tongue that confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, those individuals are saved. Great news, God. Thank you for that. Thank you that we're still part of an age of grace. That the time that you're still being patient, that you're not willing that any should perish, God. So start saving this world, God. Start saving the lost. I know, Jesus, you said that you came to seek and save the lost. We're ready for that, God. Do your will, God. Do your work, God. Hallelujah. Move, Holy Spirit, in your church. Awaken us, God. Even if it hurts and even if it means we need to suffer and we are going to be persecuted for your name's sake, God, awaken us from the slumber that we're in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You know, God's Spirit, God's changing us. And I meant what I said when I prayed, that I look and I see some of you guys, and I need that. I need to see what God is doing. I do see it. There's visible, tangible proof that God is real. You know what? God's doing great things in people's lives. And sometimes we don't see it. And sometimes we're so busy with other things that we're not recognizing it, or there's a lot of other noise or distractions and we're not familiar with it. You got to know this today. God's changing things. God's changing people. Amen? God is a powerful God. He's not done, right? He's not done. He's not done. And they might say that we're losers, but we're not losers. We are more than conquerors. We might look like losers to the world, you know, and they're all going, well, you know, how come you're not camping? Everyone else is. Well, we're not camping because we want to be, and I'm not saying you shouldn't go camping ever, but we're here today because we want to worship God. And we need to testify to God's goodness. God changes lives. He changes us forever. I am not the same. I am not the same. I am not the same as I was 16 or 17 years ago. I am not the same man. I'm a new man. I'm living by the Holy Spirit in my life. And it's the best thing ever. I'm never going back. God is a God. He gives us stories. We all got a story, you know. God tells me to tell my story. He doesn't say, I don't need to tell Crystal's story. She needs to tell Crystal's story. Tim needs to tell Tim's story. You've got a story to tell. And we need to, we do it among each other sometimes because it's encouraging for us. We need to hear the story. I need to know what God's doing in Kyle's life. I need to hear what God's doing in Brian's life and how he's alive and he's real and he's taking care of us. Right, Luis? He's taking care of us. He's taking care of you. It doesn't matter what it looks like. He's taking care of you, and it's going to be all right. That's true for you, Jim. Even though you grieve, even though it's hard, and there's times this week even, I'm driving my truck and I get a tear in my eye and I go, oh man, where's Lorraine? I can't believe it. I need to talk to Lorraine. And they're a hard thing still. But just a sec, okay? But God is real. He is. God is real. God holds us in his arms. God changes our lives. And he moves in his power. And he works in the context of his church. And that's who we are. Amen? Tim, I'm going to ask you to come up. We're going to hear a story again. And we've heard a little bit about this story before, and I know that you're a little nervous about this. I love you, and we want to hear what God's done. We need to hear this. Yeah? Love you. Come on up. Thank you, God.
Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Yeah.
I'm not really prepared for this at all today, but I'm just going to speak
right
from my heart. 9 months ago, I came to Potters. 10 months ago, I came to Potters, and I gave my life to the Lord. Before I gave my life to the Lord, I walked in darkness, like real darkness, not just, you know. Ever since about the age of 12, 10 years old, I was a drug addict. I grew up in a drug-addicted family. I went through 30 to 40 foster homes. At about the age of 15, I started selling drugs. I got into some serious addiction problems. Got myself in a lot of trouble. And moved out here about 3 years ago, changed my life. I didn't change my life though. I still had serious gambling and drug addictions. And I still surrounded myself with that darkness. I didn't know Jesus Christ. I gave my heart to the Lord 10 months ago, and it's been the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. I have a lot of guilt and shame from my previous life. Even though I gave my heart to the Lord, and I asked the Lord to remove addiction out of my life, and the things out of my life I didn't want, in my walk today, still with Jesus Christ, I know I'm right with God, but with the rest of the community, I would like to seriously apologize. If I've ever done anybody any wrong, I would like to make a sincere apology. I have a lot of hurt inside. And I am sincerely sorry my grievances from when I used to walk in the darkness and live in my own addiction. I caused anybody any pain or harm in their life. I'm sincerely sorry.
You're so
I'd like to share what's happened in my life in the past 10 months. I've been surrounded by a body of Christ that absolutely has loved me, that has shown me what it means to have a family. I have so much desire in my heart to do good today and want to help people and want to be a part of a community, you know, not be surrounded with darkness and not to walk in a manner that's just wrong. I don't want to be a part of that life anymore. You know, I have so much grace in my life today. You know, like when I gave my heart to the Lord, I gave my whole heart to the Lord and I asked him to change everything about my life. You know, I didn't want him to just change something and leave other things. I wanted to completely separate myself from my old life and be made new and be made whole. And I really have been made whole. You know, there's every part of my heart wants good things, desires good things. I truly am sorry for my old ways. And I ask this because it's something I feel I need to do. You know, I feel I need to do that. I don't play games with my life anymore. I take my life very seriously today. It's only by the grace of God that I'm alive. Nothing else. You know, before I gave my heart to the Lord, I was a very lost person, eh? Today I'm not lost. I know who I am. I know who I want to be. And I know what I have. I have Jesus Christ in my heart. I have life in my soul today. You know, I have a real life inside of me. And I got it from Jesus. Nothing else. Nobody else. And my friends and family are all here. You know, I've met a lot of good people in my life today that I'm very, very grateful for. You know, my old life, there's nothing left of it. There's nothing there for me at all. There's nothing there. And I walk in newness with God today. I walk as a new man today with a changed life, with a future, with a real life in front of me. You know, and I'm very grateful for all the people I've met. You know, I'm so grateful that I've found Jesus in my life because I was a lost soul, very, very lost soul. And I've been surrounded by so much love and grace in my life today. I'm very, very thankful for that. Very thankful for it. You know, like the Holy Spirit has worked in my life in so many different ways. You know, he's changed my heart. You know, he shined my light into my heart. You know, into my life. You know, I have life in me today, a living life, you know, and it's only by the blood of Jesus. And I am so overwhelmed with a lot of feelings. I don't choose to walk in darkness anymore. I live in light. And I have love today. I have love. I want to love people. You know, I just want to love. I just want to love. I just, all I have in my heart for people is love. You know, and I got that love. I received that love, and now I want to give that love. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and continue on today. I wasn't sure if I was going to speak today on the way down here, but I'm very, very thankful for this family and this body. And I love everybody here. And, you know, today's Pentecost. Stan just told me what that meant yesterday. And the Holy Spirit is moved in my life in so many different ways. I'm just so grateful for the love I have in my life today. And I found it with Jesus. And I just say a quick prayer. Dear Father God, we just give you all the glory today, Father, for your love and your mercies. Father God, I just pray that there'd be more days ahead of your love, and that I continue to walk in your ways, and that we can be together in a body in a unity of Christ. And Father God, just pray for the people that are not doing well today, that you can watch over them and you can keep them safe from sickness and harm. Lord, and we just pray this in your name, Jesus Christ.
Isn't God good? I'm trying to really listen to God's Spirit, and sometimes God's Spirit just impresses on me that maybe someone has just a word of encouragement for Tim, or maybe it's not about Tim, maybe it's just something different altogether. And I don't even know what your name is, sir. What's your name? Andrew, I'm sorry that I don't know your name, but do you have just a word of encouragement? Well, wonderful.
Good morning.
Can
folks.
You stand? This is Andrew, by the way.
Good morning. Hi. And for Tim, when you turned your life over and asked for forgiveness, you were forgiven. Your slate is clean. And what you have done in the past, you can't ignore it. You can't turn your back on it. But learn from it. Maybe you now can encourage other people, and you can be a channel for that peace that God so graciously gives us all. We all have a dirty slate, had a dirty slate at one time. We all were sinners. And through God, through grace, that's why we're here. And thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Kyle. I have to agree with my brother. Once upon a time, we all were sinners, Tim. And I really can't get out of my head that you keep saying how you are full of love and you want to love people, and that's all you want to do is love people. And you know, that's quite a change. That's quite a thing to have on your mind, quite a thing to have on your heart. And I would love to encourage you. There's a hot chocolate team that goes out every Wednesday and walks downtown and talks to, you know, the strippers, the drug addicts, and you're more than welcome to come on Wednesdays with us, and we can love people on Wednesday.
Amen. You know what? I think that it's true that the love is visible in you. So that's a cool thing. You know, a lot of people say they love, but I see the love, and I think that that's an important thing. That's a huge tool. It's a huge advantage when the love is so visible that it exudes. It comes out of you. And God's going to use that, whether it's Wednesday nights or other places. And Kim, I know you're going to say something too, so go ahead. You want to use this just so everyone can hear you? I know you don't. Well, he's got one.
Tim, I heard you up there say lots of few times there that you asked forgiveness, and we heard the congregation say that you were loved.
Yeah.
And I just say that you're forgiven. We
That's
forgive
right.
you. We just forgive you. And I don't even know you, but you're forgiven.
That's good. That's good. You're forgiven. Receive that from God today. Receive that from God today. Okay, Joe. It's on.
It's on, all right. Well, I like his testimony at the soup kitchen the other night. I never felt the Holy Spirit touch me since I accept him. The Lord gave me the salvation that he gave me way back in 1983.
Yeah.
I never felt that way after your testimony. Keep it up, Tim.
Keep it up, Tim. That's the word. That's encouragement. Yeah, amen. Amen. Let's pray as we open God's word. We want to hear from God today. So thank you, Lord, that you lead us today by your word and by your spirit. And those are the two pillars that we know you build your church upon. So as we open your word, teach us and convict us with the conviction of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you will make us into the church you want us to be, God. Forgive us where we've faltered or where we've been way more interested in building our church than building your church. I pray that we will be builders of the kingdom of God and that there'll be no name on the side of that, just the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we will have the message of the resurrection of Jesus just right on the tip of our tongue as we tell the world that you are alive and that you have overcome, that you are the mighty conqueror. So God, as you open your word, just encourage us and teach us and show us where you want us to be and how we can be used in powerful ways. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles today, and I hope you do, and I hope you can excuse my voice. I've been fighting this cold, but I'm going to fight through this thing. And if you just put up with that a little bit. But I want to go to a passage we've read a few times. I'm just going to read it, start it again in Thessalonians, just as we start today. 1 Thessalonians 1, and it's just such a great word about the Holy Spirit and conviction. So we're going to read the first 6 or 7 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And so Paul is writing to this young church in a place called Thessalonica, and he says this: Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols. Doesn't that sound familiar? How you turned to God from idols, that you serve the living and the true God, like Tim was just talking about, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. You say amen? I love what it says, and I know you do too. It says, our gospel, you know, Paul says, our gospel didn't come to you simply with words. I'm tired of words. I've heard words all my life. And there's lots of words out there. Words are just more words sometimes. He says, no, we got a lot more than just words. The gospel came not just with words, but it came with power and with the Holy Spirit. and with deep conviction. Now, I don't know how you feel when you hear those words, but when I hear those, the feeling that comes to me is more God, more. I just want more of you. I want more of your power. I want more of your Holy Spirit. I want more of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I want to live under the conviction of the Holy Spirit so that I know what you want me to do and where you want me to go and who you want me to talk to. I want to know that directly from you, Holy Spirit. I want to live under that conviction. And I'm tired of just walking and going wherever I think I should go. I want to go where you want me to go. And I love where Paul writes this. He says, you know, this is, it's not just words. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it is the power of the gospel to all who will believe, to everyone. And isn't it, it's just amazing. It's fabulous that that offer of Jesus Christ, that offer of salvation is still available today. It's even today, there's still the possibility, there's still the opportunity that you can receive Jesus Christ. Until the day when he comes, until the day when the trumpet sounds, you can still come to Christ. And right now is the day of salvation, he says. But it's about prayer. I'm going to start with that today. It's about prayer that the Holy Spirit and the sounding of the Holy Spirit, I got a little bit of a ring here. If you can just turn me down a little bit, okay? That the Holy Spirit is birthed in prayer. That's what I want to start today. We need to be prayers. And that means that we need to spend more time in concerted prayer. We need to spend more time on our knees. We need to spend more time understanding that our prayers are effective and powerful. That when we pray, God hears our prayers. And there's some of you here today, you really need something in your life. I need you to know today that God can do that. God will do what he needs to do and what needs to be done in your life, and that we can cry out to him. And that the coming of the Holy Spirit, even today, not just at Pentecost, but even today right now, the Spirit comes depending on the prayers and is birthed in the prayers of his people. Paul said to the Thessalonians, I always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work, and your faith and your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prayer. Right? I just pray for you, Paul's saying. I'm praying for you. And it's because of that, it's because of the prayers, he says that this gospel isn't just words. It's the power, and it is the Holy Spirit, and it is the conviction. But it's about the prayers. If we go to Acts chapter 1, we're told, you know, that Jesus said to his disciples, wait, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, wait and you'll see that the Holy Spirit's going to come, but you need to wait. He said to them, Acts chapter 1, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has sent by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will then be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. But you are not to leave Jerusalem, this is verse 4, but wait for the gift that the Father has promised me. What did the disciples do prior to Pentecost? Is they got together and they prayed. We're told that, again, this is verse 14, that they all joined together constantly in prayer. You know, so prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit, they just prayed. And they prayed. And in fact, we're given the whole list of who was all there, all the disciples. There was no one missing. All the disciples were there. We know some of the women were there too. What did they do? They prayed. They cried out to God. They said, you told us to wait, Jesus, so we're waiting. Whatever it takes, and as long as it takes, we're going to wait. Until you give us that promised Holy Spirit. Because we want to be your witnesses. We want to reach out with this good news. We want this church to survive and to thrive. And we're not going to survive, and we're not going to thrive if we don't have your Holy Spirit. And so they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. Len was talking about Ascension Day. That was 10 days ago, if you want to know. It was 10 days ago, it was Ascension Day. 10 days later is Pentecost. They prayed at least for 10 days. I wonder what would happen if we said, you know what, we're going to pray for 10 days. We're going to start right now today, 11:20. We're going to go for 10 days. We'll order out. You know, some of us might make it to 6 o'clock where we have our normal prayer meeting. I wonder how many of us are going to be left here at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And who's going to be here a week from now? You know, are we prepared to pray like that? And do we understand that you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is birthed in our prayers? We all want the power of the Holy Spirit. I hear you talking about that all the time. I talk about it too. We want the power. We want the miracles. We want to see the changed lives. But are we prepared to invest in prayer so that this happens? Are we really praying? You know, let me ask you this. Is there someone on your prayer list right now that you're praying for every day who doesn't know Jesus Christ? That you're praying that God's Spirit will soften her heart or his heart so that that person comes to Jesus? You know, you should have someone like that on your heart. I believe that God calls us to be witnesses. There is someone in each of our lives who needs to know Jesus. Maybe they're on the streets Wednesday night, or maybe there's a neighbor who lives across the apartment from you, or someone you work with. Are you really praying for that person? You know, I know people go, well, I really want to see that individual come to Jesus. Boy, that would be great. I hope God gives me that chance. I'd love to lead that person to Christ. But if you're not praying about it, if this is not being birthed in concerted prayer, where you're on your knees and you're crying out to God, you know, that's when the Holy Spirit moves. Are we really prayers, are we? And are we understanding that Pentecost didn't happen until the leaders in the church, the church itself, until they were really praying to God, and they waited. Until the Spirit came. That's the first thing. And I'm saying it because, well, partly because how I've been feeling lately and how I've been hearing other people feel. And that's, I think, sometimes we get discouraged with prayer. And I've had conversations this week with a few people who go, you know, man, I pray and I pray and it just seems like it's not working. You know, I'm praying for my cold to be gone and I've had it for a week. You know, what's wrong with me? You know? And that's just a little thing. I'm praying for my sons or my children, and they're still, nothing's changing. Or I'm praying to be free from this addiction, and yet I keep going back to it every night. And sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get this voice, and it's not the voice of God, but there's this voice in the back of our heads that says, this isn't working, you know. This prayer thing, that the pastor talks about it, but it's not true. It's not true. You might as well not pray because it's not going to make one bit of difference to Jonathan if you pray. It's not going to work. And that's a lie. It's a lie. And I want to tell you this morning, and if this is the only thing you hear, maybe this is what you got to hear, but you got to just keep praying. Because we pray because we believe. We don't pray because we see. We pray because we believe. We know that this is true, not because Pastor Stan says it's true. We know it's true because God's Word says it's true, and this is where we've got to stand. This is true, and we keep praying. Yeah. We continue to pray. We continue to pray even when it doesn't appear that the results are there the way we'd like to see them there. We don't give up on prayer. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to join with my brothers and sisters. We're going to pray together even when it looks like all hope is lost, because the truth is all hope is not lost. I love what Peter says in his sermon. He says, this Christ who is raised from the dead, he is resurrected, is both Lord and he is King. He is both Lord and he's the anointed one, I should say. Those two. He is anointed and he is the King. And we just pray that through. I need you to do that. I need you to do that for me. We need to do it together. We just cry out to God and we pray together and we just keep believing. We keep believing. We keep standing on what God's Word says is true. And I'll tell you what will happen when we do that, is there will be power. When I read, I'm going to read a little of that actually. Let's look at that. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. When we read in Acts chapter 2, the thing that's astounding to me is just the amazing power. Isn't it something? I mean, let's read it. You know, Acts chapter 2, it is visible. It is public. It is positive. The Holy Spirit comes And there is an amazing event, amazing change that's taking place. Acts chapter 2, listen, read it with me. That when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Do you get that? They were at this amazing event. All these different nationalities were there, and everyone was hearing the gospel. It was a miracle of hearing. Everyone was hearing the gospel in their own tongue. Whether they were Galileans, the Galileans were speaking, and whether they were Medes or Elamites or residents of Mesopotamia or Judea or Cappadocia, and he goes on and on. He goes, every one of them were declaring the wonders of God. They were declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. He says. Wow. I'm going to read on a little later on, but you know what it's about is we need that power. And I believe that if we become people who birth prayer in our lives, that the power of the Holy Spirit is really going to move among us like we've never experienced before. And I know you desire that like I desire that. The event of Pentecost was very public. It was very visible. You know, and it appealed to the senses. If you read this carefully, it's what they saw and what they heard. You know, they saw the tongues of fire. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if suddenly today, boom, tongues of fire are on people, and you're seeing that with your eyes, right? And then with your ears, they said they could hear the whoosh of the wind. All of a sudden, the wind just whoosh. Wow. Can you imagine that? And then they heard with their ears. These Galileans speaking in their own language, talking about the wonders of God, right? This was monumental. That's what I'm trying to say. This was a monumental event, Pentecost was. This was the initiation for the church of Jesus Christ. This was the beginning. On that day, get this, on that day, 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. This was a monumental, huge event. This was a kickstart, if you will, for the early church. It was a kick. Can you imagine all of a sudden, one day you got 11. By the way, I said to someone the other day that according to our standards of church planning and church growth nowadays, Jesus would probably be considered a failure because he started off with 12 people and he ended up with 11. So he's going in the wrong direction. But he had these 11 people, he's had 11 people praying, and in that same day, there's 3,011 or more, right? Thank you, Lord. The point is we need to understand that there's power in this, that the church receives that power of the Holy Spirit, that the power is available to us. And it wasn't just for those people back then. The power is for us today. It was a monumental, huge event, and people came to know Jesus Christ. In fact, if you read later on in Peter's sermon, we're told that they all repented. Isn't that great? 3,000 of them. They repented of their sins. They cried out in belief. They said, we believe in Jesus, and they were baptized. 3,000 of them. They must have, it must have taken all day. I don't know how long it takes you to baptize 3,000 people. That takes all day. But this was an event that initiated the power and the beginning of the kingdom of God working in the church of Jesus Christ. And we need to pray like that. We need to pray like that. We need to believe. You know what? The Holy Spirit, let's get this clear. The Holy Spirit is here. If there's one thing that we need to learn from Pentecost, is not that we need to somehow conjure up the Holy Spirit. We need to get him to come. We've got to get him to do things for us. Let's make something perfectly clear today, according to Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, and that is that the Holy Spirit is among us. He is here. His power is here. His gifts are available. The Holy Spirit is here. And we need to stop praying like we're trying to conjure him up. We don't need to conjure him up. He is not a genie in a bottle where you rub the bottle and you hope the genie comes out and then you get your three wishes. This is different. That's not prayer. Prayer is believing exactly what God's word says is true, that the Spirit came at Pentecost. It doesn't say that the Spirit came at Pentecost and then the next day left. You never read anywhere in the scriptures where it says, and the Spirit left, and now only one or two people become Christians every year. It doesn't say that. The Spirit, if there's anything we know for sure, is that the Holy Spirit has come, He empowers the church, and He is as available to us today as He ever was. We've got to stop praying. People, you know, maybe you've never heard that before, but I hear people sometimes, and they pray that way, like they're trying to conjure God up. Oh God, we beseech thee. You who made the heavens and earth out of naught. Whatever naught is, right? You who created the sun and the stars and the mountains and the hills. Oh Lord, we beseech thee, hear us. I got to tell you, you know what? God hears you. You don't need to pray like that. You don't need to try to work God up. You don't need to try to convince him to listen to your prayers. You don't need to, you know, rub the lamp. All you got to do is just say, Jesus. Jesus, yeah, we need you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, give me strength. Holy Spirit, work in the lives of my children, my neighbor. Holy Spirit, lead your church and let us live under that conviction that I am being moved and I am being directed and I'm being led by the conviction of the Holy Spirit and not by some theology of man or some way that man thinks is right. So I want you to understand this today. We need to start praying, and we need to start praying differently. You don't need to conjure up God. God's already there, and the Holy Spirit is so ready to move and to pour his power upon us. And I guess it's that word pour that really I want to end with today and have you think about. And it's a word that's both in the Old Testament and it's a word that's in the New Testament. As Len pointed out, and I appreciate that, and I don't need to say as much about it because Len said some of the things that I think we needed to hear today, but, you know, in Joel made that prophecy on that day. He says, when the day of the Spirit comes, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. My sons, and not just men. This is a radical thing, by the way. You're my sons and my daughters will prophesy. The old men will dream dreams. And I will pour out my Spirit on all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will pour out my Spirit. I will pour. It's back in the Old Testament. And back in the Old Testament, even in Joel, that same word is being used. That God wants to pour himself. He wants to pour himself into our lives. He wants us to be filled with him. He wants that pouring to be a pouring that continues on. You know, I need the pouring of God's Spirit in my life, not just on Sundays. I need that pouring in my life every day of the week. Don't you? God wants to pour it out. Thank you, God, that he moves in our church. He moves in our lives. You know the problem with pouring, though? I'm going to show you what the problem with pouring is. Now, I didn't do that just to be funny, Susan. I did that because, you know what? That's what happens when something pours upon us. She did such a good job. We start doing this. You know, we're not doing this, right? Let's do it again. This time I want you to know. Okay. Isn't that true, right? When something gets poured upon you, we do this. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. You know, we don't want to get this poured on us, you know. We need to do this. Okay, God. Lord, today on this day in May, on this Pentecost, in Red Deer, we open our arms and our hands to you and we say, pour it out. Pour it out, God. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your love, God. Pour it out and we'll receive it. And I'm sorry, God, for the times when I've done this and I've tried to reject you or I've tried to cover myself. I'm not going to cover myself anymore. I know, I talked to someone yesterday, someone who's really dear to me. Yesterday they said, you know, I like to get the gifts of the Spirit. I don't want tongues, though. Listen, I know other people, though, who go, that's all they want is tongues. And the bottom line is, you know what, when God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on you, you take whatever God gives you. Take what He gives you. And it might not be the same. What God gives Gaston will be different than what God gives me. Yeah, it's got a lid on it. But we're so used to doing this to God. We're going, okay, God, pour out your Spirit on me, but not administration. Okay, God, not tongues. Don't, you know, God, I want healing and I want faith. And, you know, give me the pouring that I want, God, not what you want. And God says, you will receive from me what I give you. And I pour out my Spirit on you. And you receive it with gratitude, whatever it is. And you are the body of Christ, so you use those gifts together. Your gifts might be different than Darren's, but we work together and we dovetail those gifts together so that we are working and building up the body of Christ. And it's time that we stop, rejecting God's anointing. That word poured out, God said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on you. He says, that's for you if you're willing to receive my anointing. You need to let me anoint you. You need to let me anoint you. You need to allow my Spirit to fill you. You are the vessel of God. You are a vessel, and I want to fill you with power that you can't even imagine. But you cannot come to me and say, God, I want this, but not this. You receive what I give you. You receive what I give you. I have I've recently been sort of struck with the idea that I'm in the third period of my life. I may be well into the third period, I don't know. I'm in the third period of life. I've gotten past that second period, we had the intermission, I'm in the third period, and some of you are laughing at that, but I got to tell you, some of you are living in overtime. So, Ted put his hand up. You know, so be careful about who you laugh at. But God's really impressing this on me, saying, you know, Stan, you're in the third period now, and I don't know what that means exactly, but I know what He wants from me, and I've been under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you this out loud so that you may know where some of the direction where God is leading me. He is leading me. He's saying, Stan, you need to spend the time that you have left with the lost. It's time, you know, that's why, if you want to know where the power and why there's power that my Holy Spirit came, if you read it carefully, I gave the church power so that they could be witnesses. That's the only reason. All the power and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all the pouring out of the Holy Spirit is only for one thing. It is power to save the lost. And I know that's what God wants me to do. And He wants me to spend more time sharing Christ with people who don't know Him. He said to me, you want more power? You want to see more visible, tangible power? You want to see the power of the Holy Spirit? Then you better start talking about me. You better start sharing me with the lost. You better start, listen to this, you better start speaking their language. Because you're not speaking their language. And they're out there and they're dead. And yes, I want you to be a shepherd, but these people need Jesus. They don't need Stan. You don't need me. I'm going to tell you, you don't need me. You have Jesus Christ. We need to reach out to the lost. We need to do that in Costa Rica, Ken. We need to do it. God's calling you to do it. He is. We need to reach out. You know, I'm in the last period here. This is the third period. There are people that I know that don't know Jesus Christ. There are people who need to build that relationship with them. And it's not just me, you too. You too. If you really want to see the power of the Holy Spirit, and we all want that. If you really want to see the power of the Holy Spirit, then you need to get to know your neighbor. We've been so blessed. There's this, I know it doesn't look like it today. We're missing a bunch of people, but this church is growing. There's people coming. People are coming to the Lord. But God laid something heavy on my heart this week. He said, yeah, that's great. People are coming to the Lord and they're coming to church, but I'm bringing them. I think he's saying that. He says, that people are coming because the Holy Spirit has convicted them to come, not because we're inviting them to come, not because we have any part of it sometimes. And I know that's not true, and I'm trying not to be too negative today or too hard on you, but you know, the Holy Spirit's bringing people here today because this is a great evangelism tool. This time right now that we spend is a great time because we get into the Word of God and because God offers something every single time. He always offers something. He says, here, take me. I am your Christ. I'm your risen Lord. But, you know, God is bringing people here. How about us start doing that too? How about Stan doing that? It's like God gave me this picture of an ambulance that was really souped up. It was like a 69 Mustang that had sort of a back part on it. And I know this is crazy stuff, but it had like 650 horsepower. And I said to God, why are you giving me this Mustang with the hatchback that you can put a body in, or not a body, but like a, what do you call that, a stretcher in? He says, because we need to get people faster to the hospitals in Edmonton and Calgary. And you can go 250 miles an hour with this ambulance. So when you get someone who's sick or someone who's dying, you stick them in the back there and you go to the, you can get to Edmonton Hospital in 40 minutes. Like, wow, that's a wonderful thing. Because I want them saved, God says. I want these people saved. But you know what? In the vision, what happened was instead of making any racing trips to save the lives of people to Edmonton or Calgary, what we did is all us guys, I don't know why the girls weren't in this picture, but all us guys just stood around and we opened the hood and we looked at it and go, oh, rev it up! Rev it up, Gaston! And vroom, vroom! Oh, wow! That's power, man! That is rev it up again, Gaston! Vroom, vroom! And it just, and it had nitrous, you know, on it, and it turbocharged, and all us guys were standing around the car and it's shiny and it's awesome. We're going, man, that's power. And God goes, I gave you the power to get to saving people. Not just to stand around it like a bunch of dopes and to listen to it rev up. And that's God's word today. Thank you, God. Come on up, Len. Len, you're going to sing a song, right? Just as you get ready for that, I'm going to ask you a question. Len's going to sing a song, and we're going to end on this note, but, you know, I've been saying this all through the service, that God has so much more to offer than the church. The church offers us a chair. Here's your chair. You want to come in, you can hear. We'll give you a chair. Here, you sit, and then you can belong. That's your chair. Don't do anything except maybe give when the offering plate goes by, but you are just part of our club. Here's your chair. That's really all we offer people so often, and God says, I got so much more than that for you. I don't want to give you a chair. In fact, I'm happier if you're not in the chair. Don't sit in the chair. Just get out into the world. And what God really wants us to understand, He wants us to understand that what He has to offer and what Jesus offers is an eternal life. So we're going to end the service today. I'm going to ask you to come to the front, and you can need prayer for anything, but maybe it's prayer for the power of the Holy Spirit to really be poured out. Or maybe it's time that you really
give your life to Jesus Christ. It's time. It's time that you repent and you believe. Isn't it? So I'm going to stand up here. And maybe Don, would you join me in guest song? And Karen, would you join us? The four of us stand up here. We're going to stand here. And you come up and we're going to pray for you while Len sings this song. I think it's
softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. On the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? And why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy's for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come
Remember that you are witnesses.
You are the witnesses that God has appointed, that God has chosen. He says, I send you out to Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I send you out to Red Deer and Black Falls and Penhold and Wetaskiwin and Edmonton. I send you out. I send you out. I send you out. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. May God give you His peace.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. And made me whole. Oh, since I met His blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout while eternity rolls. Oh, He touched me. Yes, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. Touched me and made me
Sunday, everyone.